Welcome to Homebuilder Happy Hour. This is Kelly.
And Ryan.
And we're serving up the latest trends in the home building industry to help you navigate this competitive market.
So go ahead and pour yourself a drink, relax, and enjoy the happiest hour of the day with us.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Homebuilder Happy Hour. Today, we are going to be talking about content, chasing the content creation curve. It is a big thing. It is everything we do here at Get Community. And we hope you're excited to learn more about it because we have one of our amazing, hardworking account directors, Miss Drea Villanueva, joining us. And she's going to be sharing some of her insights because she's the one. She's running one of the content teams. She's going to tell us all about it. Hi, Drea.
Hi.
Thanks for spending an hour with us this morning. We know that you... You know, love gifts as your love language, but which is a total sidebar. But you also love quality time, and we get to have some of that right now. So welcome. But we're going to start, Drea. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, my favorite thing to do.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Drea. I'm one of the account directors at Get Community. I think July will be 7 years.
What?
Get Community. Yeah.
No.
Crazy.
Time flies.
Yeah. So 7 years. It's funny because when I first interviewed at Get Community, I interviewed to be a writer. I laugh at that now. I still remember that day. I remember getting the text from your friend Lisa,
our mutual friend,
about the opening. And then I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go interview. And back then I was ready to start working. I said yes to every opportunity that came my way. I remember my mom buying me my first pantsuit because she's like, you can't go to the interview and just anything.
That.
She gave me her old leather binder to put my one resume in. It was very empty. And I remember wanting to leave very early just in case anything happened. And I did go to the wrong location.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And I called you and I was like, because I clicked the address in your signature.
Yeah.
And then... yeah, it took me to like Disneyland.
Oh no.
So I just went back
was
down.
Was that on Catella? Oh my God.
So I just went back down Catella and I was like, okay, I'm here now. So I'll just like, and I'm
that
still
happened
early.
To people all the time, I remember.
I'm still early. So I'll just like sit in my car a little. And then, yeah, interviewed to be a writer. And
did we hire you to be a writer?
Yeah.
Oh, good. We didn't know what we were doing.
We quickly found out that wasn't my strength.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm an account director, so I found my spot. I Get Community.
Now, listen, it didn't just happen, people. She's a hustler. She's good, and she worked her way up to being an account director, and she's amazing at it.
Yeah, and so that's how I found my way to Get Community.
I just want to sidebar for a second for those listening who may be looking for a job coming out of college. You went to Chapman University here in Orange, which we love. It's an amazing school, and it produces amazing humans ready for the workforce. But as a business owner, getting a recommendation from a friend is like, you know, we love that. And of course, we said, Lisa told me, you have to have my intern because... like she's a go-getter, you know, and I definitely want a go-getter. And then we hired you to do a job that you were not right for.
I could do it. It wasn't my strength.
You could do it, but you didn't like study right. Like, yeah. You weren't an English major.
And then there was
college.
Lindsay, who was a screen, got her master's in screenwriting. Like, why aren't you writing?
That's why she's our creative director. Hello. Anyway, so my point is, if you're someone looking for a job, it's like, you know, you don't have to necessarily know how to do the job that you're interviewing for. And we're always willing to train too. That's one of our things. But
so what I do on a daily basis is I meet with the clients, you know, whatever schedule works for them, weekly, biweekly, once a month. And, you know, I get updates from them about what's happening at their neighborhoods or communities, learning about, you know, what are they struggling with so that we can help them in content with that. And yeah, just helping them plan out their marketing plan. And Adesia has a question here on how did I decide this was my career path? I just stumbled into it. I'm definitely a person who's like, says yes to anything. And I give that advice to people who are fresh out of college. In this industry, it's either you're born into the industry, your parents were in the industry and their grandparents, or you just like somehow found your way and you found it and you love it.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to, you know, being inquisitive and, you know, like you said, you stumble into the things and it's like, oh, you know, I kind of like this company or I like the location, whatever it may be. And, you know, you jump in, you know, Kelly would say the same thing. I mean, you know, you start at the bottom, you know, with something completely unrelated to where you are now, you know, and you just find out more and you maybe really like what you do. So you just, you know, keep, you know, falling down the rabbit hole, you know?
Yeah. I could keep looking at new homes for the rest of my life.
Right? I mean,
it's all part of my manifestation for buying my new home.
There's a perk to working in the home building industry. We see the most beautiful, you know, homes, all the new bells and whistles. Like, we kind of get a first look. And being in California, yeah. I mean, we're pretty much winning in this business.
Totally.
So, you know, to bring us back to topic, you know, today we wanted to dive into, you know, that content creation, you know, and the role it plays in digital marketing. How do you work specifically with clients to make content that works for their brands?
Yeah, so I'll just use like a new client, for example. When I onboard a new client, it's a lot of listening. Like, mm-hmm. Who is your company? What are your pain points? What brought you to us in the first place? And then asking a lot of questions as a follow-up. I love to just say like, how is it going at your neighborhoods? Are you getting a lot of traffic? What's the market like? You know, it's been like crazy the last couple years because of the pandemic. But yeah, just really like getting to them. What's your vision? And what do you feel like you need help with? And then once I listen and, you know, gather that information, it's kind of like, okay, here's your vision, but as a marketing expert, here's my vision for you. How do we marry both of those together for something that works? And then also knowing what's happening in the industry. I like to listen to a lot of webinars and, you know, being a part of GSMC and going to BIA events, I get to hear what's happening, at, you know, with other builders. And so having that expertise also really helps in saying like, hey, this is going to work, or I've already seen this not work for so-and-so, like maybe we can shift it in a different way. So that's where I start with the content planning.
I think that's something that makes us, you know, an agency like ours unique, because there's companies that you could work with, even as a homeowner in many industries, who just kind of churn out pieces of content for you. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. It's easy. You know, it's done quickly. But what I hear when it comes to feedback on that type of content is that it's not really us. And so it's, you know, we're an agency where we work so closely with our clients in many ways, like a traditional agency. We've got our meetings every week or every other week or once a month. We have to have that one-on-one with our clients and that knowledge. And then we have to be engaged in the industry. I guess we don't have to be, but we are engaged in the industry. Andrea has done an amazing job of being very involved on boards, and you know, now I'm dragging her into ULI and we're gonna go hit that. But we learn so much. Like, it puts us in a position of knowledge, you know, having the knowledge to really help our clients with what's literally happening today or what we see coming. Like, we can see that with them. We're very involved with our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like industry webinars, but like, we're going to Social Media Marketing World in a couple weeks, and knowing that.
Which is like our industry,
yeah.
Right? Like, we've got to stay on top of that.
Giving that expertise of like, hey, this is the trend that's coming up, but I know maybe you might not be there yet, but we like, where can we meet in the middle? Or where can we find a solution that works for like both your brand and what you guys are capable of, and then doing what we do to like fulfill that.
Yeah.
Project.
So this wasn't really on the list, but kind of ties into this conversation. We work with builders and developers. We are a niche agency who works with a very specific vertical industry. And so you don't have like a builder as a client and then, you know, a salon. You have like three builder clients and three developer clients. They're all doing the same thing. They're building a community or they're building homes. How do you make each of their content different? I mean, we spend a lot of time writing the same thing in a different way. Like, how do you see them like very independently of one another?
I do. And it's kind of like this weird intuitive thing where you're like talking with the client and just like having worked with them for so long, you know what they can and cannot do. So for example, I have one client who has younger sales agents who are very much on social media and are willing to do the TikTok dances and posting on social media themselves, where you may have another home builder who doesn't have younger sales agents. Like, they're just like, that's a different beast for them, but still finding a way where they can produce that content. Yeah, it's different for every client. We may talk about the same things, we just deliver it in a different way.
Yeah, no, I mean, I believe that too. I've, you know, worked with builders my whole career and they're so unique. Like, each one, there really isn't crossover. And I just feel like the customers, the shoppers, the people out there in the world who are looking for a home are looking for such specific things and where they want to live, that it's rare that they're really comparing like builder to builder. You know, like, it's, as we know, very locational, all the reasons that you buy a house. And then you have all your just personal reasons why you like something. But I know builders compete, they're competitive, but in many ways they're not. And so they're just like, even though they're doing the same thing, they're so unique and different. It's so easy to me to create something that is just right on brand for each of our clients. But I know like people talk about that kind of thing, so I wanted to ask you. On the topic of like creating content, so let's kind of take a look back. What are some of the ways you've seen like successful content change, you know, over time? Like, what are some of the influences?
Yeah, I think now the consumer is just demanding more. I think the pandemic taught us to be very thoughtful with what we're consuming. So I think when I first started, it's like, oh, we create like one overview video and that's enough. But now you have to have the overview video, the model tours, the Matterports, let's write a blog on it. All social media posts are about this neighborhood. Yeah, and it's just not just writing a blog. It's also like, okay, we used to do just like a generic blog about the community, but now how do we go that step further? Okay, I'm going to interview the sales agent and we're going to do like a Q&A, and that's how we're going to like structure the blog. So they're just like that evolution of, you know, it used to take us just 1 hour to produce a blog, but now you got to schedule that interview. You got to do more research. So I've seen that evolution.
Demand for more.
Yeah.
We need more.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then that personal touch. I think when we first started, or I first started, we used to do those videos, the overview videos, and we would write a script and go get a voiceover produced. And it was just like a robot type person talking over the video. And now that's like, no, we're not going down that route anymore. You need the sales agent in that video and you need to see their face and you need to have people in it interacting with the home, throw in some like families in there. Having that personal touch, I feel like, has come a long way. Cause you know, when I'm shopping for myself, I want to see that. I want a person telling me, not just like a generic ad with the product in it.
Yeah. That's come a long way. The personalized connection that you want to feel with the people from whom you're buying a home.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like the like more softer sale of it. I think my favorite one of my favorite projects was when Mountain House, well, they're still our client, but, we did the, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name, but it was for Mountain House. We did a series of videos where, you know, that community is very diverse. Mm-hmm. And so through social media, I found and made connections with residents. And I reached out to them and like, okay, well, how do we get the residents to be in a testimonial, but also talk about something that everyone loves? And I thought food. And so I reached out to them. They invited us into their homes and they made us like a meal from their cultural background. And we got to see them cooking it. And then we did also an interview. I think that was like one of my favorite projects because you just like felt that heartwarming feeling when you're like, oh, I want to be like these, their neighbors. Like this community seems so awesome to live in.
Yeah, I think like you were talking about earlier with those verticals, you know, our involvement in the home building industry, you know, paired with our involvement with, you know, social media and, you know, our two core strengths, you know, that they've developed, you know, together, you know, to help, you know, merge, you know, what type of content that we create. And also, you know, knowing, you know, or working on saying, hey, like, this is what's going on in social media. You know, these are the trends. This is what's happening. And being able to say, okay, well, I think this will work for home building, but this, it, no, you know. And having, you know, that knowledge or, you know, being involved in, you know, all these communities that all have their own individual voices, you know, for us, I think it, you know, it helps build, you know, just that a little bit more of ease in terms of, okay, this is the road we should take. And I know you guys, I don't know what we're talking about, but building like those content calendars, you know, it gives a little bit of guidance to be able to say, hey, you know, this is what's going on in home building. You know, maybe not this is what's going on with this client and I should mirror that here, but this is something that's hitting home building. We should be, you know, discussing this and we should discuss it in our own way, as well as, okay, let's see how we pair that with, you know, social media. Versus, you know, those other agencies that do have those. It's like, okay, we're going to jump into, we've got this one home builder as a client and we've got to figure out what works. You know, and I see that process being more difficult if we're just pulling in clients from, you know, different areas. And it's like, okay, you know, every time it's just going to feel like, you know, we're, you know, yeah, throwing darts, you know, versus having that, you know, underlying knowledge that, you know, you've built and the team's built. So.
And I know, like, personally, clients who have gone outside of the industry to find an agency who doesn't do home building because for some reason that's going to give fresh eyes on what they're doing, but it's so hard. Mm-hmm. Like their experience was so hard and in many cases not successful because that agency just doesn't understand our industry, and getting them to learn something that they just don't know, is the struggle is real. Mm-hmm. You know, so it takes a really long time and sometimes they get there. I'm not mm-hmm. saying like don't ever do it. Yeah. I'm just saying there's a reason there's agencies in this industry, and it's because we know it and we know what the customer is looking for and how to market to them and how to create content that they want specific to this one industry, you know.
Yeah. And talking about those challenges, you know, what's the hardest part, you know, for your team when it comes to creating content?
I always have like these big ideas. I remember when I first started, I used to say, oh, can we get like these actors and like these people come in? And I would go to Ryan and he'd be like, okay, I'm going to like bring you down, back down to earth. But yeah, it's a lot of, you know, when I hear the clients talk about their pain points during a call, sometimes I'm like, I think we could solve that issue with like, maybe we create a video or create a campaign. And they love the ideas, but then there's like always that struggle with their marketing budget. And so we try to plan ahead and build that into the following year. But sometimes it's, yeah, they, you know, they have a certain spend per neighborhood and they can't do anything more than that. But I still like throwing out the ideas out there because then they know for next time and then they can plan ahead.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things. And then another thing is, like we said before, like producing things that haven't already been done. When I first started going on video shoots, I was so excited about doing homebuyer testimonials and like preparing the questions. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then the whole year, okay, like we got all these homebuyer testimonials. Okay. Like, now I'm kind of bored with it. Not saying that I don't still love doing them, that I don't serve a good purpose, but it's like, how can we do more with those? Or like, how many times can we write a blog about interest rates? I want to dig deeper. Like, for example, with TrueMark, we're talking about things, and shout out to Linnea for letting us do these things. I was talking about those pain points from the home buying process that like are kind of considered taboo with our clients, and they think that might hurt their sales or their brand. But I think that, or I believe that if you're transparent, people will appreciate that and trust your brand even more. So for example, this whole thing about like FOMO, and everyone's trying to get into the market right now and buy a home because they see their friends doing it and they hear interest rates are low, so they feel like they have to do it. But okay, interest rates are low, but what does that mean? Like, is it actually a smart decision to buy a home right now, or should you continue renting? And then what is that process like when you do buy a home, you put down your deposit? Like, this is a big thing. How long are you gonna wait? And I think sometimes I hear people in the industry saying like, don't talk about it, just like keep like, you know, brushing it off. But, you know, I see that as an opportunity of saying, hey, okay, here's that year that you're gonna wait for your home, but here's how we're gonna make it fun in the meantime. And like, one of our clients, John Gilbert with Brandywine, who was on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he created an Instagram account for that neighborhood on his own and provides updates. Mm-hmm. And then when they get in, finally are able to like go through the frame walks with their buyer, they do like Sharpie walks. And then the client, the buyer gets to write a little note on the frame of their house. And I think that's like those little things that you can do along the process to like, yes, it's a hard thing. Waiting for your home for 6 to 8 months to a year, that it sucks. But here's what we could do in the meantime before, instead of just like ignoring you and providing you generic updates.
That's what I like about John's Instagram, because honestly, I'm sure, you know, marketing people on the builder side heard that and it's a little bit like cringe. You know, I'm not letting my salesperson start an Instagram page. Like, we've had this conversation so many times. And generally speaking, unless they have a real good plan for it, probably they shouldn't, mm-hmm. if they're not going to maintain it and, you know, post stuff that looks good and the site looks good and what have you. But, you know, John had a plan for that, and he has a very specific market. He's not trying to reach the masses with his Instagram page for his community. He's trying to reach his buyers, his people who have already, you know, put their money down. They're waiting for their house to be built. Like, he's talking to them, and that's the kind of content that he creates, which is great for our corporate page because we can just reshare that stuff all day long. And we get those like frequent updates about what's happening on site. But it works because he's very specific with who he's talking to. And on a salesperson level, I think that's like, that's a win, because he's creating so much connection between him and his buyers, even though anyone can see it.
Yeah.
You know, but it's, he doesn't have a huge following. He doesn't want a huge following. That's not the point. Yeah. But if you have bought there and maybe your family, you know, they're following that page and they're like checking in on you, and it's fun. It's fun in that way, and it's working.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So from your point of view, how has technology changed digital content and marketing strategies?
I think, you know, as technology advances, our marketing advances, and it kind of pushes us to be on top of the trends and coming up with things for, you know, how can we do things better? What's the new product that we're going to offer? I think I got really excited when we got that 360 camera. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so cool. And then like we got the drone. I'm like, oh, wow, like this is amazing. And then there was that one year where we were like, Facebook Live is the thing.
I remember.
And we got the camera.
And it was the thing that year.
And we had the Mevo camera. So it wasn't just like on your phone. And then now we're on to TikTok. And yeah, I think, you know, it just like helps us develop all these products. Now we have GC Fly Tours, and it's award winning.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, I think, as you know, if technology advances, our marketing just gets so much better.
Yeah, I think a big thing on the technology front is the amazing evolution of the camera on our iPhones, because it has really allowed, I don't want to say anybody, because a lot of people just aren't good at it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have an eye, okay? But it has allowed many people to provide for us footage and photos that we can actually use on social media, because, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, even the stuff we were getting from salespeople was not usable. Like, we can't share that. That little piece of tech has really, like, opened our scope for having more content to work with from, like, a bigger team on our client side. And even us as account, you know, I'm an account person. Drea, you're an account person. Ryan, he's a creative person. He's an account person too. But, you know, we want to send the videographers and the photographers out to capture that stuff. But it is enabled and allowed us on the not creative side, even though I consider myself very creative, to capture imagery and video that we can use for on our clients' behalf.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that's amazing. It has really opened the sphere of, like, tools, you know, like little pieces that we have in our little asset toolbox to use over and over again. So I like that piece of tech. What about you? What do you think is, like, a good piece that's really, like, helped us?
I mean, you say the phones, you know, just having, you know, access to more content. But for us, it's, you know, like I said, we just keep trying to push, you know, we keep trying to push, you know, what can be, you know, done, or looking for, you know, the tech. And that's where, you know, Fly Tours came about, you know, what are the opportunities that are out there, as, you know, our own company and generating content. I think that we do a good job of, continually asking that question. You know, it's like, what are the latest things that are being done, in technology? You know, we're talking about, we've had conversations with, clients, you know, just the other day with, you know, the blockchain and, you know, what can be done, you know, in crypto and that type of stuff. Is there an integration with home building? You know, for me, it is that, you know, continual, you know, push, which has to happen because our environment changes so rapidly. You know, just in topics of content creation and what the pain points are and that, I mean, I'm sure this conversation would have been completely different 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like it was a completely different process. So, you know, getting into that mode, you know, of just being, you know, ready, what's coming up next, you know, what's those next things, you know, is, is our strength in terms of that. But
yeah, I think our clients appreciate that too, especially the ones who've been with us longest. It's like that first, I always use the Instagram stories example, because when that became a thing, our clients were like, I don't really think that's going to be driving traffic to our website, and like, just trust us. And then next thing you know, it's one of the biggest drivers of traffic to their website. And then it's like, okay, we're on to the next thing. And they're like, well, I'm like, okay, remember that one time we said Instagram stories wasn't, like, a thing? Now, like, just trust us again on the TikToks. And, like, even our clients get excited when we get a new camera. They're like, oh, are you guys bringing the camera? I don't even know what the camera's name is. Again, I'm
we
on the account
name
side.
Our cameras, like, just names.
But I'm like, yes, it'll be there.
Are you bringing Betty along? No, Betty's retired.
She's retired.
That was so last year.
Totally. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when I think that we're not being forward thinking enough, you know, because in my, I all the time, I'm like, are we staying ahead enough? You know, I just have to look back to the things that we've done or had our clients do. And I love the whole Facebook Live thing. That was good. That was like, no, we got to do this. And we personally are the first ones to go in and be like, look at that, we're doing a podcast now, because maybe all of our clients will want a podcast or should have one, or it's a great way to connect with your customers and educate them. But best that we just dive in and do it ourselves, right? Even if only two of you are listening out there. It's worth the knowledge that we gain by going through the process.
Right, and learning. Yep. Yeah. So with that, like, what are the, you know, big trends? What are the favorite trends in terms of what's going on right now, you know?
Yeah, what are you loving out there?
I love TikTok. I don't care what anyone says.
I do too.
I can't tell you how many cleaning tricks I found in the last couple of weeks. Like, did you know you could use vinegar to clean like everything? Like my shower head, just dip it in some vinegar and all the like hard water stains come off. I just like, this came out in our trends report, the snackable videos. Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah. It's so easy. And if I'm on Instagram or TikTok and something is like over a minute and not getting to the point fast enough, I'm like, bye.
Right. So what do you think about TikTok and their 10-minute long videos?
Oh, I'm not for it. I'm not here for it.
I'm not here for it either.
not a fan. But who knows? Maybe once it launches and we see what it's like.
I'm still on that. You think about how much time you will still spend on TikTok. That content is going to have to grab you, you know. It's the same, you know, people are spending a lot of time on, you know, TikTok lives. You know, where you can just sit and watch, you know. I think that there is that market for the people that want that video. But as a content creator, and that's where it all comes down to is, you know, that content better be, you know, good, because, you know, with TikTok's algorithm and how it performs, I mean, you know, if it's not, those videos are going to die. You know, it's either going to work or it's not, you know, for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, I would say the same thing with TikTok. And I think, you know, from what I see on TikTok and, you know, just in terms of, you know, everyone's got their own For You page and, you know, what they see. And I watch a lot of videos on making videos, you know, and homes. So I get constantly, you know, fed in my feed, you know, what people are doing for videoing homes. And some of the stuff that's being, you know, done for just those quick hitter, you know, model tour style videos. I mean, I think there's some big things that might be changing the game in terms of how people are shooting those videos. And I think that, you know, trend is quickly coming to home building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because none of our clients actually use TikTok. Right? Because they're just a little wary of it. Do we really need to be going there? And that's fine. We've got them doing Reels, which is Instagram is popular over here. We can see that it works. We could literally just be putting our Reels right onto TikTok. A little quick little reformat there. But they're not. They're not there yet. And I do you think we're going to get there with them? What do you guys think?
I think so because... Again, you talk about your For You page. I have a lot of realtors that pop up of mine, and they're doing such a great job. Mm-hmm. Like Kat, our other account director, and I love Kina DeSantis, whose office is here in Orange, close to ours. I hope she listens to our podcast.
we could send it to her.
Yeah. She's doing, like, such a good job. And, like, other realtors, too, of just giving that, like, snackable information of, like, what's going on in our industry from the resale mm-hmm. side.
Yeah.
And even it's, like, just about here are the steps to buy a home. I just think that the resale side has gone into it. But... a lot faster, but I think our clients will eventually jump on board.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's going to be, you know, a quick domino to fall. I mean, one builder is going to, you know, make a brand out of, you know, whatever they do on TikTok. And it's just going to prove the case as it's done, as TikTok has done with so many other industries. And 100% with the, you know, some realtors are, you know, killing it on TikTok. Mm-hmm. You know, the, you know, that home sales, you know, or that, you know, that personal branding, you know, can be done so quickly and easily if you do it right.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, a builder or someone, you know, is going to hit it and it'll probably be us, you know, pushing that builder into it and then, you know, going, yeah, see, this is what
I
told you.
You know, I think it's interesting. I think I'll get there too. And I think TikTok could potentially, like Ryan was saying, be the social network that actually builds builder brands, because and makes people aware of them as a brand, I guess is what I want to say. Like, they have a brand, but people are not aware of it. Even when I tell people, you know, they don't have any idea what I do most of the time. What do you do? I'm always having to explain it. And I, you know, I said, well, we work with home builders. People immediately think someone who builds a custom home, one home, you know, and like I say big builders, and then I name our biggest clients who should have some name awareness. Toll Brothers, Shea Homes, you know. And a lot of times it's little crickets in the eyes, like, or, you know, like deer led light, like, okay, they're just nodding. And then I'm like, Lennar, that's the one, not a client of ours, but that's like the only one that most people are aware of, Lennar Homes as a home builder, you know? And I've seen so many surveys and stuff come out from consumers. I mean, very little awareness of the different home builders out there and what they do. I think TikTok is maybe the one who's going to have the potential to blow up a builder brand that you've never heard of, make them super cool, and for people to be curious enough to explore other builders and how they're different. You know, like, it could be TikTok that breaks that barrier of branding from a consumer perspective.
Mm-hmm. Just so you know, we called it. Timestamp this. Let's
put it down.
When it comes true,
let's put it
down. Come back to this podcast.
Okay. Was there any other trend that you wanted to bring up that you're into right now?
No, I'm just so, I love TikTok so much.
I do too. I really do. So let's talk about influencers for a second. I think this is a good conversation too, because we've sort of gone on the wave of influencers up and down, up and down. It's changing. It's always changing working with influencers. But do you think influencers can be useful when it comes to creating content in the home building industry?
I do. But I think it needs to be the right one.
Yes.
And yeah. That requires a lot of research into the community and finding those bloggers out there. In the past, we've used influencers. And I think when we continuously use the same influencer, it works. I don't think one-offs ever work. And I think there's also a backwards way of thinking about it when we hire an influencer, spend, you know, whatever amount on them, and then our clients come in and say, well, it didn't directly lead to a sale. And I think that's where it's like, okay, but if you think about your own personal shopping experience, like, okay, I'll use the example of every morning I like listen to the Almost 30 podcast. And, you know, in every podcast, they're like, here are the brands we love and who we support. And I have not want in the past 4 months since listening to that podcast, I have not once bought a product yet. But I know what those products are now. And I will tell you, the next time I get sick, I'm buying that elderberry syrup from Birch Benders or whatever.
I love that. I use that.
Yeah.
And I'm way over 30.
It's like, like, yes, after the first time I didn't buy that product, but I know what the brand is now. And so I don't think the one-offs work. And I think it has to be the right influencer in the right, like, demographic. We're not going to hire a TikTok famous, like, 18-year-old.
Right. No, I think we got to work with influencers as partners now in an ongoing partnership. Mm-hmm. We just had one with Olsen Homes. They got lucky. They had a big influencer buy in one of their communities. It was a process, I should say, to make it happen. Mm-hmm. We felt, yeah, you should do this. You know, she's living there. She's got the right audience. She's the right age. She didn't have quite the exact vibe they were looking that felt like them. But I felt like she is their vibe, mm-hmm. you know. And I enjoyed that partnership from watching her. And then knowing now that everything you see, she's in her house, which is an Olsen home, mm-hmm. which gives us this opportunity, right, to share and put more and more of our, we can do that whenever we want.
Yeah.
But we do and did have this ongoing partnership with her where she created a certain amount of content for us over time, over the build of her house. And I think that those have a lot of potential, mm-hmm. right? She had a big following. But I don't think they have to have a big following. But I agree with you. I do think that there were times where we would hire like 7 influencers to do a event for us. And that a lot of that, I think, worked at the time because it just helped get PR and people talking about it at this one inflated time, mm-hmm. you know, always local influencers. So it made sense. But yeah, the one-offs, no. But someone like creating content on your brand's behalf, that is a potential win. Any other thoughts about working with influencers?
I do have this goal of making sales agents mini influencers like the realtors are on TikTok. And that was my goal for John.
You know, it's working, I think.
I don't remember if he told the story about how he went to the 99-cent store or something.
Yes.
And
yep.
someone came up to him and was like, I know you from, you're the guy who dances. And it's like, yeah. And like, that's what I think can happen with like
yeah.
sales agents becoming
yeah.
micro mini influencers
totally.
For our industry.
And I know for him, anytime someone came into the sales office, buyer, shopper, they had seen his reels. Mm-hmm. I saw your reel. I saw you're on this. And that's the point, creating that connection. Mm-hmm. Maybe that didn't create the sale, but that was part of the research process. That was part of the connecting personally with your audience that when that person walked in, they felt like they knew you and they'd never met you before.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And you want that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
Kena yeah. DeSantis, that realtor I follow, like, I know when I go to buy my first home, I want her to be my realtor because it's not just
oh my
like,
God.
It's not just her, you know, posting that she's a realtor, but she posts educational and informative content that makes me feel like I just learned more about the home buying process. Like, you know, here, this is what it means if you're doing a conventional loan versus, you know, FHA
right.
or whatever.
She's like a knowledge broker.
Yeah. And I would say that I've learned a lot for our, you know, for what we do from her. And nice. Then you like, you know, build that trust.
Well, to close things up, you know, is there any advice that you'd give to other people in your position when it comes to creating that engaging content?
I would say studying your consumer and studying the trends. I think that, you know, a lot of times a topic comes up and you're just like, okay, well, it's like, you know, this one time it came up and they're like, okay, we want to produce content about it. But like, does the consumer really want that? Did you fully understand what their process is and like what they're looking for? And then, yeah, once you know what the consumer really wants and you know what the trends are, how do you combine those two and make a good, you know, good content. I remember one of the most like mind-blowing brainstorm sessions we had was when we went up to Whitney Ranch for like our yearly planning session. And we had someone who did like research on the millennials that were buying in the community and how it was like so different from like, they had like different categories for millennials. And that particular millennial that wanted to buy in that community is like, they're reaching that stage in life that, you know, you've always, they're not starting out. This is the point where they've made it. Like, this is the community where they want to move to and they want to show off all the things, the fancy things that they've bought and put in their house and the new car. And they want those social events where they can do that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, that completely changes the way we produce content for them because we're not going to post about buying your first home for that community. We're posting about how to decorate your dream home
yeah.
and putting in all the fancy stuff in that blog.
Right. Reaching that phase in your life. And what does that feel like? How do you create content to connect to that feeling?
We're not doing budget tips.
That's what we do around here. We love it.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thanks, Drea. We appreciate you giving us some insights into what you do and how you do it when it comes to creating content. Thank you for being here today.
Anytime.
Well, that's all for this episode of Home Builder Happy Hour. We'd like to thank Drea for taking the time to discuss one of the most fun parts of digital marketing today. For more information about our podcast or our work, head to our blog at getcommunity.com. You can also get insider tips straight to your inbox via our monthly newsletter by signing up to receive our newsletter. Thanks. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Home Builder Happy Hour. Make sure to follow us on all our social media pages to stay updated on what's happening at Get Community. You can find all of our social media handles in our show notes for this episode. We'll see you next time, and remember to make every hour in life your happiest hour.